Welcome to More on Christ. I'm Pastor Glenn Moore, where we're all about encouragement and everything. Well, it's all about Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that promises abundant life. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, today we're in a series about fruit-bearing Christians. When you become a fruit-bearing Christian, one of the first things that you need to learn about is prayer. When you begin to have answered prayer all the time, your relationship with the Lord will just accelerate you to a brand new level. Now, last week we talked about no roots. Well, if you have no roots in the garden, you're not going to have any fruit. And this week we're talking about no participation, no fruit. So we had to participate with God. In the beginning, God created a garden and placed Adam in the garden and gave Adam a helpmate, participation. And God would meet with them and talk with them, and the garden was a wonderful place. Now, the garden throughout history brings us a lot of food, and Jesus refers to the garden to talk about the different kind of soils and says this is what happens when the gospel seed falls on this type of soil. These are the results. There was a man, an Italian gentleman, in New Jersey, and he needed some participation, but he had no participation. It was in the early springtime. The ground was very hard, and he thought, well, I'm just going to give it up on my tomato garden. So every year he'd put out a tomato garden and grow it. And he wrote a letter to his son, Vincent, who was in prison. Dear Vincent, I am feeling pretty sad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year. I'm just getting too old to be digging up a garden plot. So you got to use a shovel to break up the hard ground. And so especially when the weather, the temperature's lower, not easy to break up that hard ground. I know if you were here, my troubles would be over. I know you would be happy to dig up the ground for me, like in the old days. Love, Papa. So a few days later, another letter came. Dear Pop, don't dig up the garden. That's where the bodies are buried. They read the letters going in and out of prison. So the next morning at 4 a.m., FBI agents and the local police arrived and dug up the entire area looking for the bodies. Well, they found no bodies, and finally they said, well, we're sorry, sir, and have a great day. And later on that day, another letter came from the son. Dear Pop, go ahead and plant the tomatoes now. That's the best way I could participate with you under the current circumstances. I love you, Vinny. Now, we all need participation in the garden of our life, in the garden of our heart. And the place to get the participation is in the local church. When you have roots in the local church, you will bear much fruit. And when you participate in the local church, you will bear much fruit. The Holy Spirit will come in and break up the hard ground. Wonderful. So when you're praying for people all the time and saying, oh, Lord, break up their heart so I can plant the gospel seed into their life. Now, last week we talked about planting a seed. When you put a seed in the soil, the seed will do amazing things. It'll germinate. It's alive. There's an embryo in there. There's a root, and there is a stem. Now, that seed right there in my hand represents a 40-foot palm tree. Now, all good farmers, gardeners can look at seeds and see with vision, this is exactly what's going to happen. And that's what's going to happen. God looks at you and he sees greatness in you. He sees a great servant in you. And he sees you just like Jesus down the road. And when we become like Jesus, guess what? All of our prayers touch the heart of God. They get answered. Great things take place. And so, farming principle number two, plant the seed in the soil. So you got to put it in there. So the soil's broken up. Thank you, FBI agents and policemen, for breaking up that hard ground in that wonderful father's yard. And the Holy Spirit comes and breaks up the ground in our heart. And we plant the gospel seed. Sometimes we are working with hard soil. When I'm out farming, I know when I'm talking to someone, I can plant more than one seed maybe. But there's other people, the ground is like a granite rock. There's no planting. I can drop the seed, but the wind is going to blow it away. Now, that's just the way it is. And you found that to be true, too, when you witness to folks out there. People need to hear the word of God. And Jesus says, you will be my witnesses in all of the world. You'll be a witness unto me. And that's in the first chapter of the book of Acts. So Jesus is talking in Matthew 13 about the principle of farming. And he talks about four soils and the gospel seed. Now, a farmer has to put a lot of seed out there to get the seed to get into the ground. These seeds of the palm tree, when you look down at the base, there are hundreds of seeds at the base of the palm tree. They blow all throughout the area and plant other trees in different locations. That's the way God set it up. So we got to put a lot of gospel seed out there to get some results. Well, Jesus said this in Matthew 13, verses 18 through 23. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Now, the next type of dirt. But he who received the word on stony places, this is he who hears the words and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the sword and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Very easy. So when you participate with Jesus and your heart gets right, wonderful things happen. When your heart soil is broken up by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is planted deep in the soil, you'll bear much fruit. That's the way God designed it. And when you go out and inspect a garden or a vineyard, you'll see big clusters of grapes. God is into multiplication. He's not into 1 + 1 = 2. Well, that's a mathematical principle, but God's principles for life are 30%, 60%, 100% growth. So are you getting that in your life? Because when you spend more time in the prayer closet, in that secret place, and you put roots down in that prayer closet, the word of God says, in the open, I'm going to reward you. In other words, you're going to get answers to prayer. 10 minutes in a prayer closet, 10 minutes worth of answers, maybe 100 minutes. I don't know. But you have to spend time there and you'll get the evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Just like the seed in the ground, it's not seen, but it's soaking in that secret place in the soil and it's going to grow. And the farmer knows that. So when we participate, we will have fire upon our life, the fire of the Holy Spirit, and we will be unstoppable. When we participate with the Lord in the local church, He'll open up doors for us. When we participate with God, He'll give us promotion on the job. When we participate with God, He says, I'll give you favor and blessings everywhere you go. When we participate, God says, I'm going to open up doors for you. And I'm going to show you how great I can bless you. So God is in for participation. The Bible talks about the neglected garden, the garden that was neglected. If you could have in your mind a picture, just imagine in the theater of your mind, an overgrown garden. At one time it was productive. At one time it had a lot of fruit. But neglect takes over. So that's like the garden in our heart. No prayer, no rewards. No reading of the Word of God, no growth, no bread for our life, no understanding of what it means, no cleansing of our life. We read the Word, it'll convict us. The Holy Spirit uses the Word to convict us, to confirm things to us, to comfort us, to counsel us, and He illuminates the Word. So when we neglect it, weeds and thorns grow in our heart and choke out the Word of God. Now, God wants us to have great things in our life. When you go to church, great things take place. You hear the word of God preached, and faith comes by hearing. So as you hear the word of God, you say, wow. When you hear a great testimony from someone, it's great. So when you're out witnessing to people, you have a testimony in your life. You're sowing seed in the lives of people. God wants to use you. It says in Proverbs, in chapter 24, someone walked by the garden of a slothful, lazy person. He said the garden was overtaken by weeds and thistles and thorns. In other words, there's work to do all the time in a garden. You got to do a lot of work in the garden. You got to be vigilant. You got to participate in the garden if you're going to have any fruit. No participation, no fruit. So a farmer has duties. Proverbs 24, let's read that chapter real quick. Let's read that section of verses. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man lacking understanding and common sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns, and nettles were covering its surface, and its stone wall was broken down. You know, vineyards can last up to 50 years. They're producing great amounts of grapes, wine, lots of money it brings in. Other gardens produce for a long time, but there must be care in the garden. Springtime comes around every year at the same time, and it brings the spring rains, and it brings the sunshine that starts the photosynthesis in the plant. It gives energy to the plant, and there's abundant harvest when all those conditions are right. So the farmer must participate, and he's got a lot of things to do. So he sees a seed, and he sees the vision of what that seed can become in 72 days. A tomato seed can become a plant in 72 days, bearing fruit for everyone. In the garden, we must weed and feed and water and spray the bugs. So you go to Home Depot and, well, you got to get that Miracle-Gro. When you have the Miracle-Gro, great things happen in your garden. You just add the water and spray, and it takes care of the weeds. It feeds the plant. Wonderful things take place like that. Now, you got to participate. So if you're participating on the couch, watching TV all the time, there'll be no fruit in that garden. You'll be like the Proverbs 24 gentleman, the lazy, slothful man, and the thorns will overtake the garden. No produce. And come harvest time, the family is going to do without food. So it's very important to work the fields. It's very important to participate in the garden activity. Now, here at New Life Church, we participate. Here at New Life Church, we got miracle growing power, and that comes through the fire of the Holy Spirit. When people come forward, we pray for them, and the Holy Spirit fire comes upon them. And that's when miracle working power takes place, and it can feed us. It can point out things in our life. It can show us what kind of ministry we should be doing for the Father to bear much fruit. Because one day we're going to stand before Jesus, and he's going to inspect our lifetime of work for him. So when you give your heart to Jesus, you repent of all your sins, and God gives you a brand new birth into this world, and exciting things begin to take place because there's a fire in you from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit beginning to illuminate the scriptures, and now you are participating with God in a brand new life. You know, you hear some people talk about, well, if I would have been born to a wealthy family, my life would be very different. Well, if I'd have been born in this time period, well, if I'd have been born and had all these skills, my life would be different. Well, when you're born again, life is different. Now God gives you all kind of talents and abilities and skills, and he wants you to put them to work. And he says, come and participate with me, and I'll do some amazing things in your life that you'll be able to give great testimonies about to people that you come in contact with. You know, the greatest decision I ever made, and people will always stop and listen to that decision. They'll give you some time because the Holy Spirit will begin to break up that fallow ground. He may have been breaking up that hard surface for a long time, and you come along just in time to plant the gospel seed, and the Holy Spirit begins to take that seed. It's going to be a 40-foot palm tree right there, but the Holy Spirit drops that seed in there with your participation, and all of a sudden, a great preacher comes forth, a great nursery worker, a great children's church worker, all getting crowns and rewards one day from God. Now in Proverbs 7, it talks a great word here. There's a great word here about our heart. It says, keep my commands and you will live. Well, that's great in the Bible. This is spirit-filled words, anointed by the Holy Spirit. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. So you do have a memory device. It's called the tablet of your heart. We say, well, I'm not very good at memorizing. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. You find your house when you go to town, you come back from the store, from town. You always find your house, and you always find everything you need in your house. It's just routine. So the more we read the Word of God, the more it is written on the tablet of our heart. And that's when things begin to grow. God uses that. So here at New Life Church, we feed the Word of God, and we pray that it'll be written on the tablet of your heart. So that as you're praying or going somewhere, God can just illuminate that while you're driving. Say, go here, go there. I have a job for you to do. I want you to do this or I want you to do that. Holy Spirit fire burns out the sin in our life. Holy Spirit fire just removes all the thorns and all the thistles and all the hard places in our heart and conditions our heart to be a 100% return. God wants you to be blessed. God wants to use you in a mighty way. God wants to bring great production out of your life. And you don't have to work that hard. The more time you spend in the prayer closet, the more time you spend in His Word, the greater you will accelerate to that new level of growth and production in God's place. Now, God's place in the local community is the local church. You know, many people move from church to church to church to church. And they never put down roots in the local church anywhere. So they have no fruit. No roots, no fruit. No participation, no fruits. So I have always found that wherever I went and got involved in a church, I began to participate. It was exciting hearing testimonies from the saints. It was exciting hearing the Word of God. I would go to church going, well, maybe I'll get this prayer answer today. Maybe He will preach on that subject that I'm really dealing with. Maybe I'll find strength today in the preaching of God's holy word. Maybe I'll find evidence. And always, God always comes through, and the Holy Spirit power is moving and anointing the word. Boom, roots, fruit. No roots, no fruit. So participating in the local church, well, that's a real designed place by God. And Jesus said, the local church, my house will be called a house of prayer. So the first thing that we should learn in our fruit-bearing Christian life is how to pray and how important the Word of God is. Verses like, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And sin takes us way off. So no participation, no fruit. Jesus participated with His Father and got a lot of fruit. He worked the garden. For 3.5 years, He raised up disciples. He worked the garden. He fasted. He met with the Father at night. He had roots in the prayer closet. And He got 1,000-fold in His efforts for the Lord because He participated with the power of the Holy Spirit touching people's lives. He cast out devils wherever He went. He could calm the raging storms. He could walk on the water. He fed the multitudes. He did all kinds of things. The disciples participated, and great things took place when they participated in accordance with what Jesus told them. He gave them authority to go out and cast out devils. And they were amazed. They said, this is amazing. He said, well, don't rejoice in that as much as rejoice that you've been born again. You got a new life, and the seed of the gospel is going into your heart, and you're going to have an abundant production, over 100-fold in your lifetime. Paul participated with Jesus once he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. He participated with Jesus, and guess what? The missionary journeys took place, and God sent Paul to the Gentile believers because Paul was participating with the Father and with the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus. He was doing great things. God used him to do miracles and signs and wonders. You know, Abraham participated with God the Father. He left his hometown, his family, and he went to where God showed him. And he followed God, and he dug wells, and he had altars, and he participated with God. And one day, God said, take your son Isaac to the mountain and sacrifice him to me. Abraham just looked. He said, yes, sir. I'm going to participate with God the Father, and no matter what happens, I know that He could raise Isaac back up. He can do anything He wants to do. He's made a promise to me. You know, God's made a promise to you. He said, if you come and serve me and accept Jesus as your Savior, because Jesus came and He was the Isaac of God the Father. He came to this world. He participated with God the Father. And one day He went to the cross. and he shed his blood for you and me. You and I had a sin debt that we could not pay. There's no way we could pay that sin debt. If you had a credit card with a $30,000 debt, you're going to have a difficult time paying that off. And if somebody doesn't step in, it's going to maybe take a lifetime. What if it was $300,000? What if it was $1 million? Well, a sin debt is far beyond $1 million. It could be $100 million. You could never pay it off unless someone steps in and says, well, I'll take care of that. Well, Jesus did that. And he paid that price with his very own life. He gave his life so that you and I could have freedom from sin. He shed his blood on the cross. He participated with God the Father. He gave it all. And God's calling you today to participate with me in my spiritual garden. Participate with me in the local church, and you'll have abundant fruit. So Jesus participated, and he gave his whole life to God. He gave 100%. He didn't give a tithe. He gave it all, 100%. And every day of his life, he gave him everything he had. So Jesus rises from the dead, and he defeated death. Now we have new life when you give your heart to Jesus and repent of your sins and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I know that I sinned. I know I've made a mess of things, but I trust you now to take my life. I'm going to do a 180, and I promise to serve you as Lord and Savior. I promise to participate in the local church. I'm going to give you everything that I have from this point on. Your opinion is the only one that counts. God's opinion is the only opinion in this entire world that counts. One day you and I'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne judgment, but we'll go to the judgment seat of Christ, and there all of our works will be examined, and the fire will come upon them. And if it is a gold and silver, it will last and come out looking great. But if it was nothing, if we did not participate in the local church, if we did not put our roots down in the local church, we'll have no fruit, we'll have no gold, we'll have no silver, but we'll still be saved. But everything that we did will go up in smoke. It'll mean nothing. So today is the great opportunity to participate with God in his local church. Lord, what could I do for you? What do you want me to do, Lord? Show me what to do, and I'll do it. Just show me. I'll do anything you want me to do, Lord, whatever you want me to do. Now, I know the Lord has your best interest at heart. The Lord Jesus had your best interest at his heart when he hung up on that cross. And when he expired his last breath, he said, Father, it is finished. The debt of sin has been paid. And when you accept Jesus by faith and say, well, I believe that he did that. I'm persuaded. So you believe it. I'm going to accept Jesus as my Savior. Now, the other part of that is believe means I'm going to obey him. I'm going to do everything he wants me to do from this point on. I'm going to give my life to him every day. I'm going to become a living sacrifice just like Jesus did. And I'm going to participate with the Father every day of my life. Now, no matter what's happened in your life, no matter, maybe you've drifted away. Maybe you have just over time, you neglected to read the word. I mean, you read it sometimes, but you didn't study it. And so you got out of the habit of going to the local church, and you got out of a ministry that maybe you were in a ministry at one time and you were thriving, but something took place. You're no longer red hot, but you're kind of in a lukewarm place or maybe cold. But I got good news for you. Jesus says, welcome back. Come on back. I'll set a table for you. We'll kill the fatted calf. I've got a robe for you. I have a ring for you. Welcome back to the family of God. So today it's time to come back. And it's time just to pray and pray this prayer real quickly. Say, Father God, I agree with you. I have sinned and come short of your perfection, your glory. And I believe that you sent Jesus to pay my sin debt. I believe that he hung on that cross and his blood was shed just for me. And that if I, by faith, accept that, I'll be forgiven of all my sins. I repent of my sins. And I promise to serve you, Jesus. I choose you, Jesus, as my Savior, but not only my Savior, but my Lord, who's going to manage my life for me every day, going to show me what to do. And when you show me what to do, I'm going to do it every day. I promise to do that in Jesus' mighty name. Now, guess what? You are born again. Well, I don't feel like it. Don't worry. You have faith. March on. Faith means I don't have to feel my emotions. I live by what this book says. So I just made an agreement with God. I've repented of my sins. I accepted Jesus into my heart. And from this day forward, I promise to serve you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm going to be a living sacrifice for you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. God bless you, and have a great, great week. You're going to bear much fruit.